Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of you know that's the love chapter. And I want to draw your attention to the last verse. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, the greatest of these. The greatest of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and just the last verse, verse 13. I still like to hear the Bible pages turn. I know it's easier to find on your phone, but I don't know if you're playing a video game or, you know, watching a YouTube channel or. All right, look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for meeting with us in our song service. God, help us as a congregation, Lord, to learn to worship you. Lord, to draw closer to you, to give you the praise and glory that you rightfully deserve. Lord, help us to honor you. We thank you for an opportunity, God, to look into your word. And Lord, we've tried to emphasize this month affection, love. And we need you, God, to give us an understanding. And we need the Holy Ghost of God to be our teacher. And we need you to guide us into all truth. And Lord, we pray that you would do that work today. Lord, I don't know enough to help these people. Lord, I'm not wise enough or strong enough. I don't have the knowledge. But Lord, you know all things. You have all power. God, you love each one that's in this service, Lord, more than what we could ever comprehend. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to leave this morning with a better understanding, Lord, of our relationship with you and what we ought to be doing. Lord, help us not to fall into the trap of this world's false love. Lord, to accept things as love that are not love at all, but are hateful. Help us to have a biblical love, a true love. And Lord, only way that we can have that is that you help us. And so we ask for your help. We pray that you would speak to each heart this morning. If there is anyone in this service that's lost and on their way to hell, God, please grip their heart and trouble their soul. Help them to know that this might be the last day they ever live on planet Earth. And if they die without Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. That this is the day of salvation. There is no promise for another day, another opportunity. Lord, draw them with a strong drawing. that this morning they may meet Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Please, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to say only what you want me to say. Lord, help me to honor you in all that I say this morning. Help me to lift up the name of Jesus, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. So we're trying to emphasize affection or love this morning. It's the month of April, so we couldn't call it the month of love. So we chose April and A, affection. And last week we were challenged to try to express that toward a family member, a husband or wife, a brother or sister, or some close relative. I hope that you had the opportunity to do that. But as we look at the subject this morning, one of the things that we have to realize, and this is an important truth, is that there's a difference between biblical love and worldly love. I think even as Christians, a lot of times we are trying to express a love that's really a worldly love. We think it's a biblical love. We think it's a love that God is pleased with, but it's really not a biblical love. It's still a worldly type of love. A biblical love is selfless. That's the agape love. Selfless means it's not focused on what you get, but it's focused on what you give. A lot of times we are deceived when we're trying to exercise love because we always want something in return. In fact, when we're challenged to go and love someone, sometimes, sadly, what we're wanting is to be the one that receives that love. You are to be a giver of love, and we're to be selfless in that love. Let me give an illustration, since Jeanette's not in here, and I don't see Bruce, I can give this illustration. Now, this doesn't relate to them, but let's say this. Let's say you get up early in the morning, the husband, and fix his wife a breakfast, but she's on a diet. She don't really like breakfast. She doesn't want breakfast. It may be your ideal of, okay, I'm going to show affection. But I promise you this, when you bring that plate in there, toast and grits and whatever else that you burnt as the man, it's not going to be received as a love offering. When you try to love someone, you try to meet their need. It's not what you think their need is. It's what their need is. Agape love is a selfless love. It's an unconditional love. And you and I are to rejoice in that. Why? Because God loved us when we were hell-bound sinners. He didn't love us when we started going to church and got cleaned up a little bit. He loved us when we were in our worst state. So much that he sent his son to die for us so that we could have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. He loved us when we were the worst sinner that we could be. It's an unconditional love. It's a steadfast love as well. Biblical love is a consistent and should be a growing love. You know, sometimes when we try to learn to love people like God would have us to love people, we try for a little bit of time. If they don't respond like we think they ought to, guess what we do? We stop trying to love them. Right? Amen. I'm not getting the results I think I ought to get. You know, I brought the flowers. I brought the roses. I'm not getting any response. Why should I keep trying? Because biblical love is a steadfast love. It's not how they respond. It's what you give. It's what you give. It's what you give. It's what you give sacrificially. Amen? Amen. Worldly love is just the opposite. It is selfish. Worldly love is all about you and what you can get out of it. It's not about the other person. It's about what you can gain from that relationship. And that's the world's mindset of love. A young boy tells a young girl, I love you. And often that love is for one purpose. It's a selfish love. He has a desire for something. And if he gets that something, he no longer loves that person like he said that he loves that person. It's a selfish love. It's a What can I get out of it? It's also, the worldly love is a conditional love. The other person has to earn it or be worthy of it or do something to deserve it. I'm not going to give love to you until you do 1, 2, and 3. That's the worldly concept of love. It is a conditional love. I'll only love you if you. If you stop doing this, then I'll love you. If you start doing that, let me tell you, that's not a biblical love. That's a worldly love. It's also an unstable love. It's a roller coaster love. It's love and gooiness and kisses and hugs. And then it's fist and blood and it's an unstable love. That's the worldly. By the way, we all have to try to fight through this. Is this a Christian love or is this kind of a worldly love? We all have needs in this area for our love to grow and to be more Christ-like. Amen? If I'll be honest with you this morning, I must confess that my love is not what it ought to be. To be brutally honest, if you ask me, do you love your wife? Do you love your children? Do you love your grandchildren? I would say, of course. And I would also probably add, with everything that's in me. But if I'm honest this morning, according to the scriptures, I've got a long way to go to love my wife like she ought to be loved, and to love my children like they ought to be loved, and to even love my grandchildren like they ought to be loved. Amen?
Amen.
And more embarrassingly, and most embarrassing to me, is that I don't love God like I ought to love God. I mean, after all, He is the greatest being that there ever will be. He is wonderful, amazing, and powerful. He loves me, and I don't love Him nearly as much as I ought to love Him. Paul wrote these words to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. I want you to pay close attention to each word. He says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And if you've got that verse in front of you, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, look at it closely. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound." How is my love going to grow? How am I going to love even people that hate me, my enemies? Not have a vengeful spirit towards people who are adversarial to me. How am I going to genuinely love sinners? How am I going to love my wife and my children and grandchildren? How am I going to love God like I ought to love God? The Lord make you to increase and abound. It is God that must help us in these areas. Amen? And we must realize this morning, without His help, we cannot love like we ought to love. But we ought to be pursuing His help, praying for His help, crying out for His help, that our love would grow and that we'd be more pleasing to the Lord in this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, same chapter. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Isn't that good? I've been praying that prayer for quite some time now, ever since I run across this verse in my devotional. I probably never saw it before like I saw it here recently. And I'm saying, "Lord, direct my heart to You. Help me to draw closer to You. Draw me to Yourself." After all, He's the great shepherd. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be close to the great shepherd. How am I going to get close to the great shepherd? "Shepherd, draw me to Yourself. Direct me." Lord, direct your heart into the love of God. That's Paul praying for them. The Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So notice this morning, the greatest. Love is the greatest commandment. Right? Remember when the lawyer came to Jesus, and it's recorded in Matthew's gospel. It's recorded also in Mark's gospel. But in Matthew chapter number 22, look at chapter 22 of Matthew. And then it's recorded also in Mark chapter 12, so if you want to put a finger there. But Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 36 through 40. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? That's what the lawyer asked. Jesus answered already questions. He marveled at Jesus' answers. And this is a man who's sincere now. He really wants to get a true answer. He's not trying to trip Jesus up. He's heard of the answers. He's amazed at the answers. And so he says to Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you want to know what the greatest commandment is, Jesus said, here it is. It is that you love God with every ounce of your being. That you love God with everything that you have. It's not just love God. It's love God with all that you are. All of your mind. All of your heart. All of your soul. All of your strength. That's how you and I are commanded to love God. I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I'm convicted. I think about my mind and I realize there's a lot up there in my mind that's not dedicated to God, has nothing to do with loving God. I consider my strength, what I spend my energy and time on, and I have to confess that a lot of times what I'm spending my strength, my energy, my efforts on has nothing to do with the love of God. I have to look at my life and my soul and think, look at my soul. Is it a soul that loves God with all of its being? Is everything in my life point to the fact that I genuinely love God? And I have to say, no, there's a long way for me to go. In fact, we open up these altars because we must confess that we are far from what God wants us to be. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said these words, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. Obey me. If you love me, submit to me. If you love me, bend the knee. If you love me, help, let me have your life. Let me do with you what I want to do with you. Not what you want to do with your life. Let me have your life and let me do with it whatever I desire to do with it. We get back to this commandment. I do think that the church would see a genuine revival. But I have to wonder how our Lord feels when he commands us to love him to that point or that degree. And he sees in us a mixture of love. If you are a husband or a wife or serious about your relationship with someone else, you know how extremely offensive it would be to find out that your husband is being unfaithful. He's gone online. He's talking to a stranger. They've been communicating for quite some time. And he gets home and he goes to the room and shuts the door. And you find out for a long time now, he's been there secretly conversing with someone else and developing a relationship with a stranger. I'm telling you, that would be so offensive, you would take that computer out and throw it in the yard. It might even burn it. And he might be careful about his steps as well. Amen? I'm afraid Brenda would tie me up while I'm sleeping. Beat me half to death with a baseball bat. By the way, she'd have the right to do that. How is it that we can understand if my wife is unfaithful or my husband is unfaithful, if this person I'm engaged to marry is unfaithful, and how offensive, how heartbreaking that would be. But when it comes to our love for God, we make all kinds of excuses, don't we? What did James say about that? James said, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And you know what he called people who are friendly to the world? This may be hard to accept, but this is what James said, half-brother to our Lord. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? James is saying, how can you hold on to the hand of the world and God's hand at the same time, and then sing, oh, how I love thee, oh, how I love thee, when you and I know that we are holding the hand of the world? Why is it the greatest commandment? Because if it was the greatest commandment, everything else would be obeyed as well. If we love God like we ought to love God, we would not bend the knee before false idols. We would not have any other gods before him. We dare not take his name in vain. If we love him, I would never speak evil of my wife because I love her. How could you take God's name in vain and say that you love him? I was shocked one time. I saw a young man who professed his faith in Christ, and he was out. And so I ran up behind him, kind of tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around and said, curse God. And he newly converted, so I might could let that slip. But I'm telling you, it hit my heart like a sledgehammer. I could not believe that someone who had just professed faith in Christ would use those words against Christ. We would attend church like we ought to attend church and not have to be prodded or begged or pleaded with. Amen? I'll have to amen. Might have to get on the pew and amen myself on that one. I got good news for you. On Sunday nights, I don't preach. Brother Bruce preaches. If you want to hear a really good sermon, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen?
Amen.
See how many amens you got? No. We ought to love God because of who he is. He is amazing. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He's beautiful. He's holy. He's the only God there is. He's perfect and pure and powerful. And he's present. There's nowhere you can go in the world that God's not with you. He's just. He's joy. He's the judge. He's the Lord. He is love. John said, God is love. He is a living God. Amen?
Amen?
He sees us. He cares for us. He gives to us. He aids us. He helps us. He encourages us. He corrects us. He disciplines us. He's constantly exercising love towards us, and he deserves a love in return. Amen? It's the greatest commandment in the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 13. Look at verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says this, owe no man anything but to love one another. See, look, what you really owe is love. You are a debtor to others to love them. That's what you owe, amen?
Amen.
Pay that debt. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled what? The law. If I love others, if I love strangers, I'm not going to poke a knife in their tire. I'm not going to scrape their tire or their car with something because I'm just a little offended by what they're driving. I'm not going to steal their bike. I'm not going to harm their child. I'm not going to sleep with their wife. Why? Because I care for that individual. I love them. I'll keep all the rest of the commandments if I just keep these two. Love God and love your neighbor. Amen? You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Not on your own, you can't. But with God, all things are possible. Well, I think what we ought to start doing is start praying about this more. Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. How about offering up that prayer continuously? Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. Anything in my life that's not love for you, remove it. Help me to love you like you've commanded me to love you. Amen. And by the way, if he commands us to do something, he gives us grace to do it. Amen. Amen? Is that true? Yes. I would never dare command my little grandchild to go out in the backyard and pick up a 200-pound rock by herself. So why wouldn't you do that? She can't do it. And what if she couldn't do it, then I just wore her backside out? I would be unjust, wicked, and evil if I did that. Amen?
Amen.
If we don't obey God's commandments, he chastens us. If he gives a command, that means we can do it. Amen? We can do it because he's given us the Holy Ghost to be able to accomplish his will. So you and I need to be entreating God. God, help me to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no telling what God might do in your life if that was an earnest, sincere prayer. Amen? Look at verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's the greatest commandment. It's the greatest attribute. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these, I don't think that's put there just to say, let me kind of rhyme some words together. Just throw some at the end of this chapter. The thing that you and I ought to be pursuing is genuine biblical love, agape love. Pray, God, help me to love like you've instructed me to love in your word. That's the greatest attribute that you could have. This man loved lost souls. This man loved saints. This man loved God. Amen?
Amen.
If you think that preaching is loud, you ought to go and hear some old-time preachers. I think what we'll do is bring some like earmuffs in or something, so if it's too loud for you, you can just put something on your head. Amen?
Yes,
it's the greatest attribute. Now look at that. Greater than faith. Isn't faith amazing? We talked about that in our Sunday school class. How is it that we're saved? By grace through faith. Wow. I come into a right relationship with God not because I shook a preacher's hand, not because I repeated some prayer someone said, okay, you pray this, all right, now pray this, all right, now pray this. That's not going to get me to heaven, amen?
Amen.
What gets me to heaven is I personally put my faith and trust in Jesus that he will keep his word and save me when I ask him to.
Amen.
You say, preacher, how do you know that you're saved? One night I knelt in a church altar, I confessed my sin, and I said, Lord Jesus, please save me. You say, is that all there is? Yes. And you know what he did? He changed my want to, my desires. The Holy Spirit came in, things I once loved, I now hated. He radically changed my mind when I met the Master. How was that done? What transaction was made? It was made when I put my faith and trust in Jesus. He responded to that faith and I was converted and made a child of God and born again that very moment. I didn't have to get baptized to be born again. By faith in Christ, I was saved. Amen? Faith is amazing. We saw this morning in Sunday school. I can't advance in my Christian life. I can't grow in my Christian life. I can't make any progress in my Christian life without taking a step in faith. I have to believe that what God said He will do. Why do you bother praying? You might want to answer that. Why do you bother praying? Because He promised. If you ask, I will give. I'll answer. And so we pray because we know that He said, if I ask Him, He will answer my prayer. That's what faith is. Amen? Amen. Faith is big. It's great. And hope is just as great. Many of you are living today with the hope of Christ's return. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It might be today. That would be wonderful. As a young man, I used to say, oh, Lord, hold on. I'd like to get married, you know, have some kids. Aren't we so selfish?
Yeah.
He's going to come when He comes. Amen?
Right.
And He might come today. And what a hope that is. He is the only one that can make this corrupt world whole.
Right.
And righteous. He can make a new heaven and a new earth. And there's no more sin. What a wonderful promise.
Amen.
One of these days, hallelujah, He's going to do it. Amen?
Right.
I've got the hope of heaven. You know, sometimes you get a little bit older. I'm not that old. I'm getting old, though. I'm not that old yet.
Nope.
And you get these pains and these aches and you know, you have to start taking this pill for that, and then take this pill to contradict that, and take another pill for that. And it's a joyous thought to think one of these days we're going to be in the presence of Christ Himself forever and ever, and there's going to be no more death, no more dying. Amen?
Amen.
No more sickness, no more sorrow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful day.
Yes, right.
When we get to be with Jesus forever and ever. Amen? That's a great hope! But He said, Paul said, greater than that faith, greater than hope is love. It's wonderful to think about heaven and it's coming and Christ is coming. But what keeps me consistent until I hear the Lord shout in the trumpet? What keeps me wanting to take another step of faith? What keeps me wanting to draw closer to Christ? What keeps me unsatisfied with my current spiritual condition and longing to be more like Christ? What is it? It is a love for Jesus. It is greater than anything else. In fact, if you go back and read the 1 Corinthians, the beginning of that, he said you can give all your money, give it away, and if you don't give it in love, you have nothing. He said you can even offer your body up to be burned. Sacrifice yourself. And if you did it so someone would write a book about you or sing your name in some song or you get some glory from the world and you didn't do it because you love whatever it was you were dying for, he said it wouldn't profit you a single thing to give your body to be burnt. That wouldn't even be a blessing. Without love, I think a lot of times we pursue many things in the Christian life and we miss the mark because we don't realize that love is the greatest attribute. Let me end by saying this. Love is the greatest testimony. Remember what our Lord said in John chapter 13, verse 35? And I'm talking about a real, genuine love. I'm not talking about this mushy stuff that comes from the world. I'm talking about biblical love. You know, biblical love sometimes does things that are very hard and difficult. Let me give an illustration. Here's a child, and that child You've told that child to do something. Sit down. By the way, it doesn't matter what it is that you told them to do.
Amen.
You told them, sit down. And all of a sudden, they're up running around. You say, did you forget what I said? No, let me tell you again. You go sit down.
Amen.
They go sit down. Next thing you know, they're up and running around. And this is what love would do. Love would go to that child. Depends on what the age is. If they're old enough, take the belt off and burn their backside.
Amen.
Or if they're younger than that, take a spoon out of the spatula. Wear that, take a flash water. Wear that backside out. You say, what if I leave a bruise? They're going to fall. I'm not talking about being beaten or, you know, but they're going, I mean, people get bruised. I used to get paddling at school. Let me tell you what they left on me when they paddled me. They left bruises. Nobody was ever arrested. And by the way, I thank God they paddled me. Because I was bad enough. If it weren't for the fear of the paddle, I probably burnt the school down. We were in church the other Wednesday night, Brother Otis. They had this young boy there. He probably wasn't 8 years old, you think, Bruce? 8? And he's like, can I go just wait in the car? Can I go just play? And the grandmother said, no, you got to sit there. He's like, I'll just burn this place down. It's like, where in the world you get that from, boy? You know? That's probably what I'd have been like if there wasn't the fear of dad at the home or the fear of the, it wasn't really the principal, he was an older man, the vice principal. One day, I got so much trouble, he's chasing me around school with his paddle in the hand and said, have you seen Tommy? You say, why would you do that, preacher? Because, listen, you do that because you love that child. You're teaching that child many things.
Amen.
One thing you're teaching that child is when they're told to do something, they have to do it.
Amen.
Why do they need to learn that lesson? Because you're going to be telling them a lot of things to do from when they're little tiny things till they get up way up here.
Amen.
And the teacher is going to be telling them things to do, and the police are going to be telling them things, and the employees are going to be telling them things to do, right? And if they never learn to listen and obey, they're going to have a miserable life. Let me tell you where they're going to end up. They're going to end up face planted in asphalt with a police officer wrenching their arms behind them after maybe they've tased them. He said, well, I don't want to hurt them. You think that's pleasant? Did I lose most of y'all? I probably shouldn't have got on that, right? I mean, we nowadays we think spanking a child is just awful. It's worse to let them go unspanked. And people don't even look at that as love anymore, Brother Wesson. But that's exactly what that is, amen? It's the greatest testimony. Look at John 13, 35. 34 and 35. You know, the world is looking at the church, and what they really want to see in the church is Jesus. That's what the world wants to see. When they look at the church, they want to see Jesus. And let me say, I must confess, I know this. I'm afraid when they look at me, they don't see Jesus. I want them to. You pray that God would help me to grow in Christ like this until they could see Jesus in me. I really want you to do that. But listen to what he said in verses 34 and 35 of John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Look at verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. It should be that in Christianity there's a different spirit altogether. You went to some other religious meeting, you should say, I don't know what it is here, but something just isn't right. But then when you went to church, a of believers who gathered together, and you walked in that door, you should say, hey, there's something special here. There's something sweet here. I know what it is, but there's something that is just wonderful here.
Amen.
Love is how we tell the world we know the God of love. And by the way, that's not just letting people do whatever they want. If we had some man here come here dressed like a woman and want to go in the women's bathroom, I would smack him out of his whatever he's wearing and say, no, sir, you have to go somewhere else. You can't go in our women's bathroom. I'm not saying that you can't stand for what's right. I'm not saying that you just let everything go and accept everything. That's not even genuine love. Amen?
Amen.
But real love, if we love one another like we ought to, the world would say, Jesus is there.
Amen.
That's what we want. Amen?
Amen?
Let me give you one final example. And this is in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' great sermon on the mount. And this one is impossible without the Lord's help, the power of the Holy Spirit. As he is teaching on that mount, look at Matthew chapter 5. I'll just start reading in verse 39. It's hard to stop, just jump in here anywhere. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and say all and persecute you. Notice verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It's not saying that you have to do these things in order to be saved. What it's saying is, this is the way your Father in heaven is, and I want you to behave yourself the way the Father would. Be like the Father. That's what he's saying. You say, how do you know that? Look at the rest of the verse 45. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, God loves his enemies that curse him. By the way, have you seen people who curse God? You know what God does? He lets it rain on their garden.
Yep, he does.
He lets the sun shine there so it can grow. He lets them gather in food. He cares so much for them that he continues to meet their need even though they hate him in their heart. And God said to us, that's what I want you to be. Amen?
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, let me tell you what this is. This is an impossibility. You first must start by coming and receiving Christ yourself. You cannot live the Christian life without Jesus. If you've never been saved, why don't you come by faith and trust Christ this morning? Ask Jesus to save you. I promise you, he will. Amen? And if you're a believer, you know Christ, and you're not loving God like you should, maybe you should come to the altar this morning and say, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know what's tragic? We have brothers and sisters raised in the same family that won't even talk to one another. We got people who say they're Christians and can't stand others. Isn't that sad?
Amen.
Unless we deal with that, we'll never see God work like he wants to work. Amen? The greatest commandment is love. The greatest affection that you can share is love. Amen? The greatest testimony is love. Let's love like God wants us to. Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning, Lord. It's up to you. God, draw people to yourself. And Lord, encourage them to take a step of faith. Maybe some soul this morning that's lost. And God, encourage them to come receive Jesus. Lord, you love them so much that you took their sin to Calvary. Bled and suffered and died so their sin debt would be fully paid for. All that's lacking now is for them to come and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God, encourage them to come. Lord, be with Christians. Lord, we don't love like we ought to love. We've got a lot of growing that needs to take place in our lives. It takes, first of all, a step of confession. Lord, please forgive us and change us. Lord, I thank you that in our church there is a sense of love. But like the Thessalonians, that could increase and abound. Lord, help us to work on that. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Show us, Lord, how to put that into practice. Give us wisdom, God. To show us how that we can express that love to our neighbors, people that are in need. And show us, God, how that we can express that love to you. Help us to be obedient to you in every way. Lord, beginning this morning in this invitation, if you want us to come and pray, help us, Lord, just to submit to you. Do what you want us to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 272. 272. You need to come for prayer. Please come. 272.